Have you heard about how Newport nearly became Oregon's major seaport city? It might actually have superseded Portland. Newport, of all places. If it hadn't been for two very suspicious steamboat accidents, it's entirely possible. Good morning, and thanks for queuing up Offbeat Oregon Du Jour, the audio edition. Today we're talking about the railroad developer T. Edgington Hogg and the big plans he had for the little city of Newport, which he planned on eating Portland's lunch with cheaper, faster transportation Good morning, and thanks for queuing up Offbeat Oregon Du Jour, the audio edition. Today we're going to talk about railroad developer T. Edgington Hogg and his big plans for the little city of Newport. Hogg planned to eat Portland's lunch with cheaper, faster passenger service to San Francisco, but two suspicious wrecks left him in financial ruins. I'll get into the story in just a minute, but first I have to introduce myself. My name is Finn J.D. John, and I do a weekly newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History. This column got started in 2008, and today it runs in about a dozen community newspapers around the state every week. It tells the stories of Oregon history that almost nobody knows about. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghaied sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. What you're listening to now is the RSS feed that brings you one of our archive columns every morning in your choice of text and pictures or audio-only formats. Today's episode, I'm going to read to you now. Here's today's episode. Ah, Newport, charming coastal town endowed with some of the best crabbing and clamming, beach prowling and lighthousing opportunities around. But did you know that quaint little Newport nearly took over Portland's mantle as Oregon's major port city? And did you know that many people believe the only thing that prevented Newport from becoming the biggest city in Oregon, which of course would have totally transformed the Mid-Willamette Valley, was a bit of dirty work done by Portlanders? Okay, here's the story. After the Civil War, a fellow named T. Edgington Hogg, a hard-charging, big-dreaming former Confederate privateer, came to Oregon. When he saw Newport, he immediately realized that it made much more sense as a major seaport than Portland did. At least, it made much more sense to him. After all, to get to Portland, you had to cross the Columbia River Bar and spend an awful lot of time and fuel coming up the river. Moreover, using Corvallis instead of Portland as a rail hub would take 300 miles off the Chicago to Sacramento run. Portland had made great sense when waterways were the only shipping routes available. Now, though, in the age of the railroads, its location was a liability, or so Hogg thought. And perhaps he was right. In any case, Hogg saw the opportunity and went for it. He incorporated the Corvallis and Yaquina Bay Railroad Company in 1872, and a few years later he'd gotten started on a railroad line running from Philomath and out toward Newport. Suddenly, in fear for their economic lives, the Portland swells got busy. They bought up a band of property in Newport, which the new rail line would have to pass through, then demanded enormous prices for them. Hogg responded by planting a new town farther up the bay just outside Newport and calling it Yaquina City and terminating his line there. Then he bought a steamboat, the SS Yaquina City, and started running passenger and freight service to San Francisco. With his completed rail line and a steamship at the end of it, his service suddenly made much better sense to folks in the middle and southern half of the Willamette Valley, and even some of the customers in the southern reaches of what's now the Portland metro area. More sense than going through Portland. It started to be successful. Now Hogg got busy at the other end of his railroad, the one that passed through Albany and was headed out over the Cascades to the Boise rail hub. But while he was doing that, something happened. A nearly new steering cable on the SS Yaquina City broke at the mouth of the bay. The ship was washed ashore and broken to splinters by the surf. Well, the ship was insured, but it would take months to replace it, and Hogg needed the income or he'd go broke. He had just one hope. His contract with the government said that when he established service over the Cascades, he'd get a huge land grant that he could then sell to raise the funds he needed. If he could just bamboozle the government out of that land, he'd be all right. So Hogg quit working on his railroad entirely and sent all his workers to the top of the pass. There, they built a line from nowhere to nowhere, crossing the mountains. Then a boxcar was hauled up by mules, assembled at the west end of the line, and pulled over the pass by the mules that hauled it up. Having thus established a railroad service across the pass, Hogg reported success to the government. And this might have worked, but before it could, something else happened. Or maybe else is the wrong word. Hogg's new steamship, while being towed to Yaquina City, broke free from the tug, the same cable snapped again, and it washed ashore to lay its bones right next to its sister ship. And this time, there was no insurance money. Very few people thought the demise of two steamships in the same spot by the same mechanism was a coincidence. Naturally, local thoughts turned to suspicions of sabotage by those Portland interests. If those suspicions were true, the plot worked great. No number of land grants could save Hogg now. He dropped his project and slunk out of the state, a ruined man. But it's interesting to think about what Newport would look like today if he'd been successful, isn't it? By the way, you can still see the rock cribbing where Hogg's Desperation Railroad was built, near the top of San Yam Pass. They're actually visible from the road. That's it for today. You can check out all of these columns and subscribe to either RSS feed by going to www.offbeatoregon.com. Both Offbeat Oregon du jour feeds are optimized for smartphone use, but they work great on a computer or a netbook or a tablet as well. Everything here is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Well, thanks for listening, and drop me a line anytime at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon, especially if you're going to be in the Corvallis area and have time for a cup of coffee someday. I'll be back tomorrow around 6 a.m. with the next episode. Until then, well, happy trails!